This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Joining us in the studio within the next few minutes, Jordan Mailata, Super Bowl champion, Philadelphia Eagle, left tackle Jordan Mailata will join us right here.
Yeah.
Excited to have Jordan in studio after him coming on the show all the year this year.
Can you imagine going
from
Trey Thomas to Jason Peters
right
to Jordan Mailata?
It's pretty good.
That's pretty damn good.
It's not bad. You know?
I mean, that's what, 28 years of left tackle.
And how many more we're going to get out of this guy, right?
Not you even know? Done with Jordan.
Get a decade
Another
out of this
decade
guy.
Out of him.
Yep. And here he comes. It is a tall drink of water.
What's up, big dog?
Oh, mate.
What happened?
I kind of close.
Oh, you good, man.
Yeah, no, it's okay. Yeah. Oh, no, you look like you're a Russian.
You started moving?
Yeah.
Oh,
man,
wow.
I was like, oh, excuse me.
Well, that's the last thing we want you to do, man, is take your leisure walk around.
That's easy stuff.
Can you imagine you're just walking down Chestnut Street and some guy flies
Jordan
by
coming,
you and
yeah.
It's like, oh my God, is that Jordan Mailata? Well,
oh Lordy,
you all right?
Yeah, I'm
good
great.
Time
now.
To catch his breath.
Yeah,
all good. I caught it in the elevator.
Yeah,
all right.
So Jordan and his wife Nikki are being honored by the Philadelphia Children's Alliance at the 25th annual Bear Affair May 1st. We'll talk about that with Jordan a little bit later. You know, here we are. We're almost 3 weeks away from you guys winning the Super Bowl.
Uh-huh.
Like, what have these few weeks been like? I know you told us you're going to take some trips all over the place. Like, what has the time between then and now been like for you?
Honestly, all I've been thinking about is just moving my body,
yeah,
so making sure that I can get a good lift in just to move around, and you know, that's probably been my focus so far, just to let the body rest, but also get some good work in.
Yeah.
Wow. How you feeling physically?
I feel great.
Okay.
Ready
oh, really?
To go, man. Ready yeah. to go.
Oh, there you go.
a lot of games get played, and obviously you guys played in this game a couple years ago. I would imagine feeling is different when you come out of it with a W.
Yeah, it feels great. Your body, you know, your mind tells your body that you're feeling good.
Right?
So, yeah.
Compared to 2 years ago. We won't talk about that.
AJ Brown put something on Instagram about it not feeling the way that he thought. And the thing that I thought was interesting about it, because I started thinking about, even as a fan, they win, and then a couple of days later, you're just you, right? You wake up, you won the Super Bowl, you're just you. Does that feeling of victory, does that like last? Do you think about that? It sounds like a weird question, but do you feel different after having won that game?
Yes.
Okay.
I think can totally understand where AJ's coming from. I feel the same way.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of just like, I don't know if the loss 2 years ago kind of is the reason why, you know, I felt like, we won it all.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What next or what now?
Right.
You know, and you realize it's the last game you're playing of the season. You've won it all. So definitely understand AJ's point of view of, you know, just kind of being in the moment is great, being with your teammates and accomplishing the goal that you set out at the start of the year. But, man, it was kind of just like, for me at least, okay, what now?
Yeah. Well, you have.
I want to know what that feels like.
Yeah, what it feels like to be a champion.
I'll tell you what,
yeah.
For me, the reason why I felt like that was because once we started pulling starters out, mm-hmm. you know, Landon and I are the only starters left on that O-line out there, and to give respect to the game and respect to the players who are still on the field on both teams, you know, we just kind of had to stay locked in for the full 60 minutes.
Sure.
So that's kind of, you know, when everybody was, you know, good spirits on the sideline, you know, not to say that we kind of knew it was over, but, you know, everyone was just like, yeah,
well,
we've done
34 nothing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, everyone that wasn't going back in the game was like celebrating already. And that's, yeah, it's just so hard to, you know, block that out because mm-hmm. you've got to show respect to the game and especially the players that you're going to go out there with and the players that you're still going up against. And, you know, for Landon and I, at least, it was just kind of business first, party later.
Yeah.
Well, and there is this sort of thing where a lot of the thrill in it is the climb to get there. And you know, through a football season, every week there's a new mountain. And then as soon as you climb that mountain, there's another one. And then all of a sudden, at least for the next, you know, little while, month or whatever, there is not a mountain, right?
Yeah.
So I do understand that that idea of the thrill is almost to a certain extent getting to it, you know, and then afterwards there isn't that immediate mountain for you to think about what you're climbing up next.
Yeah, and it's not to take away from, again, like the biggest game of your life, you know, it's
right.
Not take away from that and, you know, winning it all.
Yep.
Like, trust me, I was happy as hell.
Oh, yeah.
I was happy as hell that we won, but at the same time it was kind of just like, okay, what now? And it was, I had to put myself in there, just be where your feet are at, because that's mm-hmm. what you were telling yourself the whole week. So once I did that and, you know, kind of stayed up the whole night celebrating.
Right.
That was great. And I slept on the plane. It didn't really hit me that we had won until the parade.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, man, how about the parade? Now, I didn't even realize until I saw our promo about you coming on that you went shirtless at some point
it
during the parade.
It was pretty cold, bro.
No, I just went on for like 2 seconds.
Okay.
There was a fan in the crowd that had his shirt off and he was like flexing it.
Listen, it's a pretty good picture of you, man. You know.
Ah, it's all right. bad angle.
How about that? So during the parade, now I see everybody's having a great time. And Howie caught a damn beer with his forehead, right?
Yep.
I bleed for this city.
Yeah.
So I would ask you, did you have any sort of weird encounters or exchanges during the parade out there? Did anything strange happen with you?
Nolan Smith stole a baby.
Weird,
did you steal a baby?
Nothing weird. That was just great vibes that day, man.
Yeah. And, Saquon was picking up everybody and bringing them into the parade.
The city just like was a whole vibe that day. And yeah, nothing weird at all, man. It was just living in the moment and dodging beer cans was kind of what I was doing.
Dodging
beer cans,
yes.
That was crazy. Every time you stepped, you know, at the edge of the bus and you kind of just like flashed your hand like you're catching a ball. You just flash it for those listeners trying to give you a visual description.
Yeah.
Flash your hand. It was like open season then. It was just everyone was launching a beer can.
As soon as you give a signal to somebody that, you can throw it here, and then everybody wants to throw their beer to you.
It was nuts.
That was awesome. We're doing the show today. We have a topic of favorite moment, looking back.
The entire season.
On the entire season. Is there a moment that you reflect back on and you're like, I don't know, this is when you realize how good you guys were? Or is there another favorite moment of the season that you kind of like to go back to?
You laughing like a psychopath as Saquon ran?
You're mic'd up to pretty good.
Well, that's pretty much it. Like, I'm just laughing the whole time I'm mic'd up. It's not really any other, you know, conversations going on. But one moment would probably be two. I have two.
Okay.
I have two. And I'll say number one is against the Saints game, and Saquon hitting it front side and taking it to the house. That was a pretty special moment in itself, just, you know, being down.
You know, tough game, yeah.
It was a tough physical game against a great team, and that was probably, you know, one of my, that, like, relit the fire right there, and it was kind of just like, yeah, this guy's special. And then the second one was probably the first week of practice when we came back from that bye week. Just the detail had changed from the way they were coaching it in the meeting rooms to even on the field. So that's when I kind of knew, like, we've come to play, and no messing about.
That bye week will go down as the most famous bye week in Philadelphia sports history. You know, all that's been written and all that's been said, and even more keeps coming out about it.
And you were a part of it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you had been very vocal about that bye week and going into coach and suggesting put it on our shoulders. Like, that really is a pivotal moment in the season. And we've talked about the bye week an awful lot, and we're not even on the team. But we realized a lot came out of that bye week, and I think I mentioned it to you a couple weeks ago. You guys lost one game the rest of the season after that bye week, and that was the game that Jalen got injured in early, and you still almost won that game. So you almost ran the table after the bye week.
Damn. Okay.
You guys won like 16 out of 17 games after that bye week.
Yeah, I just focus on the one game.
Just one game
at a time, boys. You guys can focus on that.
Yeah.
Stuff. Well, we have fun focusing on
it. Yeah, we focus on it 4 hours a day.
For sure.
Eagles left tackle Jordan Mailata with us. Before we get to the next thing, just, you mentioned the parade. The thing that we were out there, and we actually had to run back through a bunch of people to get here because we had a problem where we were. But the cool thing is seeing everyone. Just the proof of community that the Eagles sort of are the center of in the town. And you see everybody in Philadelphia, young, old, man, woman, all different races, all together. That love, like that outpouring of love, is neat coming from Philadelphia, given what we are painted as sometimes. And it must have been really special for you to look at the mass of people and all just sort of, and just a lot of joy all at once. You know, we don't see a ton of that.
Yeah. I mean, that day will go down as maybe my favorite day in Philadelphia history. Just, I mean, seeing everyone on the roofs.
Yep.
Seeing everyone on the garbage trucks just hanging about, just like, you know, one limb grabbing onto something, just hanging on, seeing us go by. That was, you can't explain it.
Yeah.
You know, you just can't explain it to people who, from the outside looking in, it's just the love and support that you feel. And, you know, it was kind of like our day to just let our hair down, you know?
Yeah.
And we sure let our hair down.
Yeah, you sure did.
Up there,
yeah.
Up there on the internet.
Yeah.
Dude, yep. So funny.
So the NFL, you guys win the Super Bowl. NFL doesn't stop, right? So the NFL draft combine is going on right now. And one of the biggest stories at the draft combine was Tush Push, right? So there's coaches, you know, Raheem Morris and
Sean McDermott
saying that they think it's an injury risk and blah, blah. And your coach, I think, Nick Sirianni, gave one of his most sort of pointed, succinct, passionate answers during his press conference about how insulted he is, I guess, at the thought that it's almost like a cheat code and that anyone could do it. When you hear other teams talking about wanting to get rid of that play, what is your reaction to that?
I mean, if I was getting my backside whooped too, I'd want it changed too. So, you know, I understand both sides of the coin. However, you know, I've heard a lot of talk that it's, you know, being compared to like a rugby play or a scrum.
And we know you don't like that.
Well, usually, you know, in a scrum, there's two sides and both sides meet in the middle.
Right.
You know? And the tush push. Just ain't nobody meeting us in the middle. You know, it's kind of just like,
yep.
I don't know, man. I think I can also kind of see the, you know, the player welfare and safety stuff, but at the same time, I'm just like, come on, man, just stop it.
Well, by the way, Troy Vincent came out, I believe it was yesterday.
Yes.
And said that, I'm assuming they went through every play that you guys ran the tush push this year.
Yeah.
That anyone ran the Tush push.
Or anybody
this year.
Ran it. Buffalo exactly, ran Buffalo it. As well. There were no injuries on the play.
Well, there you have it, folks.
That did kind of settle
about
it.
Playing health and safety.
What? Yeah, exactly. I think that kind of let us know that it's not going anywhere.
I mean, whatever happens, happens. But I just, it just baffles me. You know, it just baffles me. Like, just find a way to stop the play.
Now,
you know, there have been teams to stop us.
Yep. Sure.
So just study that film.
Yeah, you know? But that Jacksonville game, I think there were a few times where that was the one game that I think it was the Jacksonville game.
Jacksonville.
Yeah, mm-hmm. where it did get stopped a few times. And I give credit, Todd Bowles, they asked Todd Bowles about it, and he was like, well, maybe we should figure out how to stop the play instead of whining that we should ban it. So I had some respect for another coach saying that.
Telling you, the major props in them too. I mean, listen, the film's out there. Just watch it.
I know one thing.
And it takes skill. That's what's insulting.
Yeah, well, that's what Nick said.
It takes skill.
Yeah.
So I get Nick's point. I got his back. Yeah. I agree with him.
Well, you're not going to give us the special sauce in it. When you say it, okay, so let's say no, it doesn't take skill. I'll say no, it doesn't. You've got a big offensive line, and Jalen just gets pushed from behind. What is the, can you, without giving away a secret, is there something about it that you can explain where the skill lies in it?
Nah, give it away.
Yeah, all right. Okay.
Yeah,
for sure.
But just watch tape.
Right.
Yeah. Just watch tape.
Yep.
And I watched the tape. The way I wouldn't try to stop it is the way Chris Jones tried to stop it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That's the only time I saw somebody get hurt.
When I got down on all fours. Oh, well.
Sideways.
Sideways, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, when I got down in the tush push stance, right. That's better.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of just like, I remember just like looking down, and I look back up, and I see someone's back. And I was like, is that Chris Jones? And it does say 95. I'm like, what's he doing? What is he doing? But it's not the first time that we've seen that.
Oh, really? Yeah, okay.
I believe 2023, last year, we saw the same thing with Washington was doing that too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then they tried to just jump over it this time.
Oh, yeah, Luvu. Luvu had his own idea of how to stop it.
Frankie, good old Frankie.
I don't know what Luvu was doing,
The flying Hawaiian, eh?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think one thing, and we appreciate your calls every week this year. Mm-hmm. It was great. You have a great way of being honest and giving us a window into what's going on there. And one thing that you brought up a lot of times was sort of the brotherhood of your offensive line and how you guys sort of fought together, were a unit. And there was one member of that unit that is a free agent this year in Mekhi Becton. Yeah. So can you give us some insight on Mekhi as a player and what he did well and what he meant to the unit. Not sorry, Howie, but you know, on how meaningful Mekhi was to the unit.
Man, I can't begin to explain. You know, I think we kind of knew him as a tackle, you know, and we knew what we were going to get. But then when we made the, when I say we, you know, I say Stout and management, made the decision to move him to guard, it was kind of just like a question mark. But you could see that if he could learn it, he's got the size and he's got the athleticism to pull it off. And, you know, at first it wasn't easy. And, you know, there were some hurdles to jump over. But, man, I tell you what, the guy just took coaching, went back on the field and kept working on it. And, you know, that I think the biggest saying that we had this year was, I can't be great without the greatness of others. Landon and Cam, because Cam played it right guard in 23.
Mm-hmm.
So just those two just chipping away at Mekhi and Stout too, just kept molding that piece of clay that by the end of the year, that was the finished product. And he's so special, the player he is on the field. But what I care about most is who he is off the field. And, man, he's great human being, man. Great human
All you being. Guys are like gentle giants, man. Like you guys, and you don't normally get a physical, nasty disposition from old linemen that are sometimes soft-spoken or, you know, they don't come off as grunts.
Smiling.
Yeah.
Landon. Just be mean mugging the
but,
whole time.
No, I'm saying, like, that's the perception of the old line. And with you guys, man, all you guys, first of all, you guys are the best interviewers on the team. Like, you guys got the personality, all of that. great size. But when you put them pads on and you get on that field in between those white lines, it ain't gentle giant then, man. It's you guys got a nasty streak to you.
Well, there's time and place for work and time and place to just kind of relax.
Give you an example. Jason Peters was here for almost 15 years.
Hey, man, the GOAT.
Yes. It don't seem like the light switch went off and on with him. I think it stayed on all the time. Like even when he was off the field, it seemed to be on with Jason Peters and a couple other guys like that. But I say it in all joking. And with Mekhi, he seems to have that same sort of personality that's in that room. With all you guys, all you guys just seem like you get along great. Yeah. Is it fun going?
I think that's the great part of our culture, and just that O-line room is bringing the guy behind you with you.
Mm-hmm.
So you're walking side by side. That's just been always the culture in that room. And when Mekhi came, it wasn't like, hey man, you're coming to take my spot kind of thing. It's just like, if you work hard, you get an opportunity, and he got that opportunity by being consistent during OTAs.
Yeah.
And dude, telling you, it was easy to get along, and it was easy to bring him along because he's such a great human being. Come on, Howie, bring him back.
There you go.
There you go.
Come on, Howie.
Well, Mekhi and Saquon both coming from New York, both different teams, but both situations where they didn't win a lot of games, right? And then they come here with a team as talented as you were. Do you think it was helpful at all to have players in that locker room who have not experienced winning like you guys have? Who had maybe a sort of different perspective on being on a team as good as this?
I mean, I don't think it's important.
Right.
I don't think it's important. I think what's more important is the value they bring to the team.
Right, as players.
It's not about, it's not about the experiences. You don't look at someone like, we didn't look at Saquon like, hey, man, you're losing a whole lot. No, that's not how you look at him. You look at him as, how can he bring value to your organization? So I don't know. I don't know how to answer that one, just because, no offense, it's kind of a weird question.
No. Yeah.
It's kind of a weird question because I don't think that you need that as motivation, or you need those kind of guys to be like, this is our mindset. When the culture's already set, it's set.
Sure. Yeah.
And it's almost like, hey, bring you along. This is how it is here. And, they pick it up, they pick it up. They don't want to pick it up.
Sure.
Right.
Sure.
So, it is great to share those experiences, especially when we're kicking it back in the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, then you're able to open those channels and talk about, okay, what was it like there? Yeah. How different was it here? And I think to your question, it is a great point to then, see or be grateful for the position that you're in.
What I meant almost in the, I worked in New York when Saquon was there and watched that team a lot. And it's almost like, with Saquon specifically, I think just because he's more vocal than Mekhi is, you guys don't know how good you have it here, almost.
Yeah.
With so many players being in a winning situation for so long, you can almost take it for granted. And I thought seeing Mekhi crying after the Super Bowl, having reached, and seeing what Saquon, the way that it appeared he felt, having finally found a place where everyone treats winning as the most important thing. It was noticeable to me from the outside, almost how they must have felt seeing it, given the perspective that they had,
Yeah, 100%. 100% agree.
Look, let me throw this at you. QB1, Super Bowl MVP. We talk about you being mic'd up. There are several games where you're mic'd up and Jalen makes a big play, big throw, or big run, and you're one of the first ones there to celebrate with him, to try to get, a little reaction out of him or pump him up or that sort of thing. So watching him play the way that he played, NFC Championship games, Super Bowl, and doing what he did, getting his just due, I would imagine as a teammate and someone who protects him, you have to feel good for him as well.
Oh, man. Dude, do I feel good? I feel great. I feel great about the way he played and the way he kind of just kept to his own the whole year. And I went up to him at the Super Bowl. I think it was a great great. I can't swear that.
Yeah, go ahead.
I can't swear.
You can say the first letter of the word.
So I go up to him after we do the media round, get back in the locker room, going crazy, like a little party in there, and I find Jay. I go up to Jay, and just looking at him, like shaking my head. I was like, what? And I go, man, how do you do it, man? The bigger the moment, the greater your performance. And he looked back at me, he has a cigar in his mouth. He took a breath in, blew out the smoke, and said, "That's what the F I do," and walked off.
There you go.
Oh, my God. Hey, man, we're in the locker room, man. Come on, you don't have to do me like that, man.
Yeah.
Come on,
man. Yeah, he did you like he did does us. Yeah, right. Yeah.
I was just like, oh, man, this guy.
He stays
cool.
Locked in.
This guy is just locked in 24/7. But, you know, I was just so proud of the way he played. Yeah. You know, just the way he just commanded.
Yeah.
And it's just, we always say he stays, you know, here.
Mm-hmm.
He's like the definition of just saying, you know, being
even keel.
Cool cucumber.
Yeah.
Even keel.
They can't see you on the radio.
Yeah. That's what
exactly. Yeah. 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 I was trying to, like, you know, figure out the word. Yeah. So I appreciate that. Even keel. Cool cucumber. You know, at all times.
Yeah. Eagles left tackle Jordan Mailata with us. So they often talk about how hard it is, and this is, you know, shown through results, that how hard it is for a team to succeed the year after losing the Super Bowl. But you guys have now won the Super Bowl, which presents a complete other set of challenges, right? And there's, you know, the reason it's so hard to repeat is, I imagine, getting that same motivation to get there again, and the success of the offseason, and feeling like you're, I'm good, you know, what do I need to do? So what is the, how do you think about approaching looking forward, and how do you, you know, compartmentalize what happened last year when thinking about next year?
Yeah, last year's already done. Dude, I'm already ready to go back to work. Mm. It's a new season.
Yep.
You know, I'm already ready to go back to work. A lot of the team is. You know, but at the same time, you know, we owe it to our wives and significant others to kind of take a mental break and a physical break.
Yeah.
But, yeah, dude, I've been into the facility all week this week. Just got to get moving around, dude. I'm already, yeah, that's already done.
I like that.
You know, that moment's gone and passed, and it'll forever be etched in history. But for me, I'm already looking on to the next one.
Like, now,
I didn't know how I would feel after winning one.
Yeah.
You know, but now I want another one.
Yeah. You will have a ring ceremony.
Yeah, well, then we get there. Here where your feet are. Wait, when that ring ceremony comes?
Right.
Let's shoot. Okay, let's celebrate.
That'll be
the
official.
The next morning, back to work.
Yeah, that'll be official closing the chapter on last season. But I love your mentality. Obviously, several other key players have that same mentality, which bodes well for you guys as a team, for us as Eagles fans, that you guys aren't resting on your laurels. You're already thinking about trying to do this thing again. That's awesome.
I think we just had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, Nick.
Fun winning games, man.
Nick put us through the grinder, man, through the blender. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I think we just had fun last year, even just, like, being miserable together during these long hours, long days, mm-hmm. long schedules. And, you know, I think it's just that culmination at the end when you win it all, just that sense of, yeah, you know what, accomplishment. Yeah, that's good enough for me. What now?
Yes, sir.
So two quick ones about debates we had this week. We just need you to help settle. First is the push part of the tush push. How much does that matter?
It matters.
Okay, thank you.
You want a percentage?
No, that's all we need you to say.
That's all we needed. That's all we needed.
That's all we need you to say.
Thank you very much. And having done it before, apropos of nothing, what is it like going against Myles Garrett?
Shoot. You ever thought about fighting a tiger or a lion?
That's what it's like. Okay, all right. That puts it in perspective.
Cheetah. Yeah. So it just depends on what, you know, what kind of rush style he's doing.
Okay.
If he's going down the middle, it's a tiger. Mm-hmm. He's going around the edge, it's a cheetah. And if he's doing a move, it's a whatever tiger, lion. Mm-hmm. Cheetah, buddy, Black Panther, you know.
All right.
Jaguar.
All right.
I'm sorry, you guys say Jaguar. Jaguar.
Yeah, we say Jaguar.
Jaguar.
How do you say it?
Jaguar. Jaguar.
Jaguar. Like it's spelled.
Yeah.
I mean, well, you say it like it's spelled.
Let's not get into spelling of American words.
I know.
Say American words because they're American.
Yeah.
For instance, aluminium. You guys say aluminum. Anyway, I don't want to get started. I could sit here all day talking about words.
I'm sure you've heard nuclear before. Have you heard that? Nuclear for nuclear? Americans say nuclear.
Stop.
They do. They do. We mess up a lot of words.
Stop right now.
We do. We do.
Stop all this nonsense. Come on.
Well, when you came in here, I mentioned that you you and your wife being honored by the Philadelphia Children's Alliance on May 1st for the Bear Affair. It's there at their 25th. How did you get aligned with that organization, and how did your wife start working with them?
It started through the Eagles.
Okay.
Did a couple events my rookie year, and a couple of years after that, just being a part of that, just going to visit them here and there, and I kind of guess, as our life developed here in Philadelphia, one day my wife and I want to start a foundation, but this was just our way of giving back to the community.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's such an important cause for Philadelphia in general to get behind.
Yeah.
Well, I'm protecting children from the awful things that Philadelphia Children's Alliance does.
I mean, for those of you who don't know
what
PCA is, it's a child advocacy center in Philadelphia. They help kids with, primarily they focus on the safety, the healing, and justice for local children.
Right.
And families impacted by child sex abuse, exploitation, and all that
stuff. Human trafficking,
child trafficking. So, just another way for my wife and I. And, I think just over the years, wifey's now a part of the board.
Mm-hmm.
So, our role has kind of grown in that organization. And, just trying to give back.
Well, you can get tickets to that at bearaffair.org and find out all the information there, sponsorship information available as well.
Yeah.
Well, again, thank you again for your appearances on the show every week, for coming in today. Congratulations. Today we call today Turn the Page Thursday, as we're putting the Super Bowl behind us.
Guys have already turned the page.
Yeah. So we're looking for two, man.
Jeez, what are you guys going to talk about?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, talk about the Bear Affair. You can just run reruns of this.
For sure.
It's the PCA's annual fundraiser called the Bear Affair.
There you go.
All right, and we'll shoot that address out there again.
Yeah, we'll
May 1st, guys. May 1st. Get your tickets at bearaffair.org.
There you go. All right, man.
Well, all right, Jordan.
We appreciate you, brother. Super Bowl champ.
Yeah, that's going to get some used to, right?
Yeah, can't take that from you. You going to wear the ring, like, around?
Probably not. I might get mugged.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point. Especially you running around on, well, you're a big fella. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. They're going to think twice before they do it.
Might pick someone else.
Sure. Yeah.
All right, Jordan. Well,
all right, big man.
Well, thanks so much. We appreciate you, man.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry's starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Elliot Shore Parks joins us. And hey, Elliot.
What up? How's it going?
One of the, I gotta say, I don't know that I've ever been like this disappointed in a coworker. You know, I mean,
well, you had to have been. I mean, you ran this place for a while.
Well, you once in a while, but
well, all the time.
Yeah. So, I mean, that, you know, they say it's one thing for your parent to be mad at you; it's another thing to be disappointed. Elliot, I have to be honest with you; I'm disappointed with you.
I'm disappointed with you, actually. So this works out well.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you know, Elliot has been taking a victory lap for a while.
Okay. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, you have.
You offered the victory lap yesterday.
Well, but you've been trying to take it because even in the middle of our Eagles calls, you'd go, "We don't want to talk how Paul George is cooked."
Right. Right.
Okay.
But the victory lap was offered up by you.
But you wanted. You've tried to take it.
It's just being correct.
Okay. Is it Jack Ike? Am I crazy here? I'm not crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, he's wanted to take a victory.
Of course he does.
Okay.
Yes. Right.
So the context is that Elliot wants to brag that he was right about Paul George and Joel Embiid being cooked.
Correct.
Now I did offer to him yesterday. I said, I concede on Embiid. I've conceded that. You were right.
Thank you.
But then, and thank you to Brutus Maximus on Twitter, who sent us a tweet from Elliot Shore Parks. And Elliot, I'm just going to read the tweet and then you can defend it. And Jack, please put up a poll on the WIP Afternoon Show Twitter to see if you can figure out the wording of this to see if whether Elliot has successfully defended himself. So this is from immediately after the Paul George signing from Elliot Shore Parks on Twitter. Point number one, this is a huge win for the Sixers.
Mm.
The biggest free agent available picked them. A win for the franchise that has caught plenty of criticism the past few seasons. Point two, Paul George fits in perfectly with Maxie and Embiid. Obviously, he isn't in his prime, but you almost couldn't build a more perfect player to play between Maxie and Embiid. Point three, credit to Morey for pulling this off. He put the cap space plan together and it worked. Number four, there is some risk with this. Giving a 34-year-old a 4-year max contract has some potential to be a major problem very quickly, but the Sixers are now a top 5 team in the NBA. It's hard to say no to a chance to be as good as they should be. The only team better than the Sixers in the East are the Celtics, and it's very hard to repeat an issue the Sixers won't have to deal with. The Sixers' window to win with Embiid and PG is probably 2 years. Tons of pressure on them to get it done quickly. And finally, PG does two things at a pretty elite level. He shoots threes, and he can create his own offense when needed. He has some of the best isolation numbers in the league and is, without question, one of the best shooters. He can be the difference between winning a game 6 in the second round and losing.
Yeah.
My point to you is a person who wrote this cannot take a victory lap on Paul George.
So, first of all, a lot of that is still correct. Right? A lot of that is still right. It was a big win that a free agent picked the Sixers. That's a win for them. The fact that the top free agent picked them is a win for the franchise.
There's a lot of other
holistic
stuff here.
I know, I'm going through them, right? That's a win. I do think that if Paul George wasn't cooked, he was the ideal fit for them. He was. He was ideal next to Embiid and Maxie, right? So I think that was still correct. Daryl Morey, he did execute the salary cap plan. It didn't end up working out.
Well, it says it worked.
Yeah, the plan to sign a free agent worked. Correct. His plan was to get cap space and assign a free agent. That worked. So that was all correct. What I did get wrong is that he was still elite. I was wrong about that, for sure.
But you haven't mentioned this at all as you're walking around going, cooked.
Because he is cooked. He is cooked.
But you were...
I was one of the first to say it. I admitted it before you. The reason I bring it up when I talk to you is because you kept saying that he wasn't cooked and that he's way better than Tobias Harris and that he's still a good player.
That's why...
He is not still a good player. He's just not. You would have to trade a draft pick with him to get rid of him.
Well, that's actually 100% wrong.
I'll believe it when I see it. You can say you think you don't have to, and that's fine. That's your opinion. I don't think anybody's trading for Paul George. I don't believe that. And we'll see. Maybe it happens. If it does, I'll say I was wrong about that.
No, you won't, because you don't say you're wrong about anything.
I just said I was wrong.
We just had Jordan Mailata in here saying that push matters.
Talk about that too.
The push matters in Correct. The tush push, which you just said didn't happen.
And he was what percentage? And you guys shut him up.
Because
I think he was going to say a smaller percentage than you guys think. But regardless, that's not what we're talking
about. The point is, Elliot, you can't write this tweet and then take a victory lap on this player.
I absolutely can.
No, you can't. You sound like a lunatic.
Okay, so first of all, opinions change. Absolutely. Right? Like, you can say one thing 4 months ago, and then when 4 months happen, it changes.
But you've never said that. You've never said that.
What do you want when you bring up Paul George? You'd be like, just to be clear, in July, I said I liked
the deal. Yes, because every time I say something about Jalen Hurts, I have to say...
You don't have to. I don't know why you feel the need to say that. You can just say Jalen's good.
No,
you don't have to take
a four-month... you have to say you were wrong about Paul George if you wrote this tweet.
Well, in what way, though? Like, I was...
He did the whole tweet!
Okay, but first of all, I said I wanted Brandon Ingram more, so I did say that.
You know,
but
you faded away on
no,
that.
No, I tweeted
and
that,
and
too.
How has Brandon Ingram done this year?
At least he's going to be a free agent before he signed that extension.
He hasn't even played, Elliot, and you would have had to trade a first-round pick for him.
Paul George might as well have not played. He's been zero help to this team.
They traded a first-round pick for Brandon Ingram.
And I would trade a first pick right now to get rid of Paul George.
None of this is the point. The point is that you are wrong, not right.
So, hold on.
Hold on.
Let's say I was wrong.
No,
right?
I'm saying you're wrong.
No, but I don't agree that everything in there is wrong. But let's say I was wrong because I did say I was wrong. He's not an elite player.
The energy of this tweet is wrong, especially based on what you are saying now.
Yeah, okay, fine. Let's say I'm wrong, right? But that doesn't mean I've been correct when talking to you. Because for months, you have pushed this idea that Paul George is still good. And when we talk about it, I don't think I have to go every time, hey, I like the signing, but it didn't work out.
You've never said it.
Why do I have to?
Nowhere. Because you want to have this tweet forgotten about.
I don't care if this tweet's not forgotten about.
Yes, you do, because you're not acknowledging it.
Is Paul George cooked?
No, he's not.
Absolutely, you're still pushing it.
No, you're changing the argument.
Because somebody who said this
has to acknowledge at least once before they take their victory lap that they are wrong. And you never have. Not on the air, not online, not on a podcast.
Not one time.
You were wrong, Elliot. The person who says this can't take a victory lap on Paul George.
So I disagree with you on that. And we can keep talking about it. Like, hey, yes, components of that were wrong. Not all of it was wrong. It was a good thing that they got a free agent to sign.
Elliot, the whole tweet is what a win this is.
It was a win when they got him, and it's not worked out. And I admitted that way before you did.
No,
I was one of the first
people. You haven't admitted it.
I know. I'm admitting it was a mistake. Like, they should not have signed
him. Okay, well, then that's it. But you're doing it now, and you're forced to do it because somebody went through your old tweets and found
this. You act like for months people have been like, Elliot, you wanted Paul George. You wanted Paul George. I've never once been like, I wanted Brandon Ingram.
No one said it because you hid it.
But again, like, what are we talking about here? Why does it matter what I said 5 months ago?
Because you're the one taking the victory lap.
I only took the victory lap when you offered it up
yesterday. No, you tried 100 times to, Elliot.
But it's because you won't admit he's bad now. You still won't do it.
That is a different conversation.
As a way of deflecting, you're bringing up what I said a few
months ago. I'm not deflecting it. I didn't go find it.
You brought it up. I don't care if you found it or not.
I didn't go find
it.
This isn't a deflection.
I think it is a deflection.
No, it's not at all.
Because if you could just admit he was cooked, it wouldn't matter what I said.
I don't think he is physically cooked.
How is he not cooked?
Because I don't think he's physically cooked.
Why?
What I Because I watch. You don't even watch the games.
So how do you even know? First of all, you don't even watch the games, Elliot. First of all, why does that matter, number one?
What does it matter
two,
if you watch?
I do. Hold on. Argument over. I do watch the games.
Does it matter if you watch the basketball games to determine whether the guy's physically cooked?
You are fighting a losing battle here. He is cooked. It was a mistake. The contract's a disaster. We can talk about what I said months ago.
That's what you're here for.
Okay, yes. A month ago.
Part of my tweet was wrong. The whole energy of this tweet is wrong,
Elliot. But a lot of it's correct. It was a good thing that they signed Paul George in the way that they got a free agent to sign. The salary cap plan did matter, and it did work.
This is a huge win for the Sixers.
And it was that they got a free agent to sign for them.
It's a huge win, and you're saying it's a disaster, so you are wrong.
Okay, if you want to say
No, not me. You are the one.
I'm admitting part of it's wrong.
No, not part of it. This is a huge win for the Sixers.
Is it a win when a free agent signs with a team?
Elliot.
Yes, but that's the point I was making. It's a huge win for the franchise that a free agent
You're saying it's
them.
A huge win. So how is it a huge win now?
It's not. It's a disaster.
Okay, so you were wrong.
But you're misinterpreting what I said.
No, I'm reading it.
No, because what I was talking about was it's a huge win when a player picks the Sixers.
No, you didn't just talk about that. Elliot, you said PG does two things at an elite level.
I said I was wrong about that.
Well, but the whole tweet is wrong then.
No, because I said a win for the franchise that has caught plenty of criticism the past few years. That's what I'm saying. That when he picked them, it was a win for the franchise. Obviously, it's
not
worked
out. So is it a win
out.
For the franchise?
No, now it's
okay. So thank you. You were wrong. Okay.
Okay.
Put up the point.
But he's cooked. Like.
No, you're changing the argument. You have not admitted your wrongness on literally anything.
How many, Fritz? How many times have I said I was wrong about him being elite? 3-4 times in this conversation. I'm pushing back on you saying the whole thing is wrong. Not the
energy of it is wrong. Can I tell you, if this was a tweet of mine, it would be on every single aggregation NBA account in history.
And I've been there. You're Noah Vonleh. I'm on the air discussing it now. This tweet is not like, you act like it's like hidden. We are talking about it. And parts of it are wrong. I admitted that. But it's not all wrong. And regardless, I'm still like this whole like victory lap thing. I was correct about him being cooked before you were. And that's the heart of this.
You have never acknowledged this. Never one time. What? Never one time.
Okay.
But also... Give your final statement, and then we can let listeners decide.
Okay.
What is your final statement?
That not all of that was wrong, and I think this is a deflection because you know he's cooked, and so you're trying to make it a debate about my tweet.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't think that. The WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Man, you've been waiting for this moment. Jack's back for the top 5 of 5. Did you miss it at all, Jack?
The top five?
Yeah, you missed the show. You missed the top five. You missed all the attention.
Yeah, so much.
You missed his drop board more than anything.
Well, the drop board's the thing I really miss the most.
Yeah.
Because it just dies when I'm not here. You know,
it does.
Like, they don't have any feel.
No.
You know, God forbid Fran could, you know.
No, but don't have him try.
Well, you don't give him access to anything either.
The access is right here. What are you talking about? It's not. There's no password to get into the... They find Ike Juice, no problem. There's a million other drops that our partners
tried a couple of times.
Yeah, but again, it's all about the feel. These guys didn't grow up learning how to produce. They just learn how to talk on a microphone.
Well, let me tell you. I, for one, don't need them making drops throughout the show.
Yeah, well, that's a good point.
Trying to have Ike drops.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't need them trying to be Jack during the show.
No.
Yes.
No. Just be yourself.
Yes.
Or be nobody. Whatever it is. All right. It's back. Let's do it, Jack.
Each the five.
Number five.
At five.
Five.
With Jack Fritz.
Oh, five. Beautiful five.
Also, Jack, by the way, just a quick Fran note. You know how I try not to say top 5 of 5 before the thing. I just say, and here we are. And then you hit the thing.
Yeah.
Fran said, well, you're tricky with that. And I was like, Fran, I'm not that tricky. I have a specific tone in my voice when I do it. It's really obvious when I'm going to do it. He couldn't figure it out.
You ever notice how every time Fran cracks the mic, it's always, It's never just direct and to the point. It's always He's got a lock in a little bit.
Yep.
So the five things I learned during my time off. Number five is the easiest way to get in Spike's head is to block him on Twitter. And there's a lot of discussion about the block.
Yes.
That definitely worked.
Yeah. Get in my head.
Yeah, rent free.
You're a coworker and a friend, and you blocked me on Twitter. It's not like we had a fight or anything. It didn't get in my head. It was outrageous.
Yeah, so here's what happened.
Yeah.
All I wanted to do was tweet about the Phils.
Yeah.
During my time off.
Yeah. Time off. It was paternity leave, not a vacation.
Paternity leave.
Okay.
Time off.
Which is what Honest Jack ended up saying, by the way.
But, you know, so I didn't need you all up in my grill all the time. Sometimes a man just wants to. Everyone else is getting spring training numbies. I can't even participate because I got Spike Eskin on my ass telling me if I could tweet or not. So I emphasized the block.
Why didn't you just mute me?
Well, because then you can still see it.
I can still see it with a block, too.
That's what I realized after the block, is that you could still see it. So I was sitting there, and I was like, you know, it'd be funny. Block him for the week. By the way, I have unblocked you, and you can feel free to follow me back at any time.
Oh, that's right, because I unfollow. If you block me, I don't follow you anymore. You have to earn the follow. What do I want to follow you for? Just pictures of Aiden Miller? I don't need that. Nah, I can find that anywhere.
He looks like he has a big league look. Letting you know. Just letting everyone know.
I don't know if so much had gotten in my head other than I just thought it was disrespectful.
Yeah, and I thought it was funny. Just trying to imagine you. Why'd he block me? Why'd he block me? And then, you know.
It's not like I was talking to you over text.
Yeah,
it's not like you were mad at me.
No.
Yeah, okay.
I just thought it'd be good content for the show. Right. Once again, I got to make it about me even when I'm not here.
Hey, well, you did.
You did that.
Yeah. Now, the fourth thing that I learned during my time off, it was really a point of clarity. It was a point of clarity for me because before I left, we brought Elliot on and we went through all the things he was wrong about as he's on this Eagles thirst fest that he's tweeting about. But at the same time, I think it's time for Spike to call Elliot his daddy because he's been dead right about the Sixers. He's right about Paul George.
I don't think he was right about Paul George, but he's right about Embiid.
He's been right about a lot.
He
might be more right about the Sixers than the Eagles.
Oh, please.
Well, he definitely has been more right about the Sixers than the Eagles.
Well, that's not a hard. That's not a big. What's the word I'm looking for? It's not a
big take.
No,
big leap.
It's not a big. Not a high bar to.
Not a high bar.
Yeah,
to,
yeah, okay. High bar across.
Yeah. Never a doubt.
Yeah,
we got a shouting match in the bars in New Orleans about the Sixers.
No, that was about Jalen.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
But also about the Sixers.
Oh, was it about the Sixers?
Yeah, it was about the Sixers.
I'm still waiting for his team built around Tyrese Maxey to win a championship.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Maybe while he's in Indianapolis doing nothing. You know, he's not scouting the prospects while he's there.
Yeah, what is he going to the combine for?
Ask questions.
Oh, okay.
And for the nights and for the night outs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Come on.
Believe me, he's in Indianapolis.
Yeah, there's no night out.
He ain't doing a whole lot.
That is it's a nice, clean
town. Same bar they go to all the time.
Yes, yeah, the bar, they call it. You want to go to the bar and everybody knows what you're talking about. There's not a lot going on in Indianapolis.
Yeah, I love it. The third thing I learned during my time off is, you know, sometimes I parade myself as a once formerly great local pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, first team all Chestmont 2012.
Yeah.
I'm officially cooked. So on Thursday, I took my 11-year-old nephew up to the All-Star Baseball Academy. And we were working out on the field.
Time out.
What?
Time out.
Hello?
Is that kid your son?
He's my nephew.
Okay.
What?
Well, it's just...
Get him, Spike. Get him.
It's called paternity leave, so you can spend time with your new child and your wife.
Oh, my
and you
God.
Took your,
this
your
is why I blocked you on Twitter.
You took your nephew to a batting cage?
Oh, you ain't heard the best part. You heard the best part.
Okay, what's the best part?
The whole family was in town.
Whole family's in town.
Yeah. Oh, okay. To take care of the kid.
No.
Meaning that he didn't have to be there.
Right, yes.
A lot of
aunts,
help.
Uncles, sisters, brothers, everybody's in town.
Hold on.
You should get double charge, paternity leave and vacation days.
It takes a village to raise a family. Everyone knows that.
Yeah.
Everyone knows that. So, yeah. So, I took my 11-year-old nephew to try
to teach him. To the batting cages.
To teach him some ball. Teach him some baseball. Okay.
Right.
I did have, yeah. But am I allowed to leave my house? Or do I have to sit there the whole time?
Yes. Unless you're going to get formula.
Yeah.
We don't do formula. Yeah. None of that.
Yeah, I don't think Jill was taking your nephew to go to the batting cages. Did she take him to the driving range?
No.
Okay, right. Because she's being a mom. So it's paternity leave.
Walker was napping.
Oh.
Walker was napping. So everyone calm down.
I'm going to tell you what. When kid number three comes, forget about that. Forget about paternity leave.
Hopefully we wait a little bit. And yes. More figuring out the whole parenting thing. Okay. But anyway, I got on the mound, and I did everything I used to do. Yes. And the ball came out like a sputtering dead end. Like, it just died. You know, like, I was trying to throw as hard as I could. Everything hurt.
Didn't have it.
It literally, like, died getting towards the plate.
Listen,
it was so sad.
We saw that doing the wiffle ball thing.
No, but it's worse now. Like, it's way worse.
We
now.
Saw it when he pitched to Elliott during COVID when we went to the fields in South Philly.
Again, there's
he couldn't even throw a strike.
Well, yeah, but, like, there was still a little bit of zip on the fastball.
There was.
There's no zip.
No control.
The zip's dead.
Oh, man.
I got nothing left.
All right.
What a big paternity leave. The second thing I learned during my time off is people like Honest Jack more than me. You know, so many tweets of Honest Jack's better whenever I put anything out about the Phillies. We miss Honest Jack. You know, now I put one thing out and they're like, you hate the Eagles. I'm like, where's all this coming from? And they're like, well, Honest Jack told me that. Yes. So I guess he brought up that I hate the Eagles.
He did.
So now I'm not in on the jokes. Now I'm getting mad. And then I'm lost. So Honest Jack needs to die as soon as possible.
I can't believe you didn't even listen to Honest Jack.
Well, because I knew what last week was. I knew it was going to be a lot of, you know, Jack's a piece of crap, you know, wanting to go be with the family. What a loser.
His nephew.
Yeah, we had a nice little 2-hour long baseball practice.
Yeah.
Was barely even home. Didn't even want to, was barely even at my house. It was really more of a vacation than anything. I just knew what last week was going to be.
Oh. Wow.
So I did not listen. No, I know.
Yeah.
Multiple DMs like, man, they're crushing you. I'm like, I'm sure they are. I'm sure they are.
It's our way of letting people know that we love you.
Yes.
If we just say, Jack's not in today, there's no fun in that.
Yeah, there's no
fun. Listen. And you like attention, so if we don't talk about you, you're definitely not going to feel good about yourself.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because then you turn into Fran or Buzz.
Yeah. Honest Jack is better, though.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's a good bet.
Yeah.
But the number one thing I learned during my time off is that apparently Paul Jolovitz has a crush. Listen to this audio.
Andrew Painter, by the way, will be Paul Skeens. He's that good.
I hope you're... I mean, are you kidding me?
Tommy John, Paul Skeens. I don't think Paul Skeens had Tommy John, did he?
I don't think so.
Not to my knowledge, no.
He's got his girlfriend, but whatever. Livy, what's her last name?
Livy Dunn. Dunn.
Livy Dunn, yeah. She's so hot.
Oh. Ooh, boy.
You guys think she's not?
No, I don't disagree, Jolly. Yep.
It's just, he's 9 feet tall. She's 4 feet tall, but. Yeah.
Yep.
Whoa.
Wow.
That is not something I would expect from Jolly.
Let me die. She's so hot.
Yeah.
Was that overnight?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, Saturday, like, 2 a.m. Yeah.
No, he thought nobody was going to hear that.
Well, the Jack's got people monitoring at all times. He drifted into not forgetting he was on the air.
100%.
Let me die. She's so hot.
Yeah. Let me die. She's so hot.
Oh, my God.
I've admired the beauty of other women, but that was a little much there for me, even for me.
It's like it's a little creepy.
Yeah. Let me die. She's so hot.
We're all married. I mean, we're not blind, but I don't think either one of us have ever said, oh, she's so hot.
No. Oh, my God. No. It's uncomfortable just listening to.
Let me die. She's so hot.
Calm down, Charlie.
She's innocent, I guess. And not to mention, how old is she?
22.
She's only 22. Really?
Let me die. She's so hot.
Right? She can't be that old.
Well,
Paul Steen's a rookie.
You give Jolly a little break there. You know, old enough.
I want to be her grandfather. How old is Jolly?
He's not proposing to her yet. We got to get Jolly in the same room.
I am not looking at
Libby
Jolly's older than me, right?
Yeah. I think so.
Elijah's 21.
Yes. Well, see, this is that you have kids that age.
This is the best exact point. That's the point. Yeah, yeah. So when I look at a 22-year-old, I'm not saying how hot she is. I look at her as she's a kid.
Play it again.
Let me die. She's so hot.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah. See, that saying that, and I don't get in trouble for that, like at home or whatever. Yeah. If I said it like that, I would get in trouble.
Yeah. I would get in trouble.
Yes.
And if I heard my wife saying that, I'd be like, what?
He just thought it was 3 a.m. on a Saturday morning. No one's going to be locked in.
You can say she's cute.
Yeah.
She's nice looking.
She's a looker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hot's a little much.
Yeah, and then...
Well, it's how he said it. It's how he said it. Yeah.
It's like he's out of breath.
That's right. Everybody at the station is going to hate us, man.
Eventually. No, I know.
Hold up. Where does he sit when he does a show?
In Ike's seat.
Okay, all right, good.
Hardest wood I had ever touched.
You better get one of those alcohol wipes, buddy.
Oh, come on, man. Let me dine. She's so hot.
All right.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almacid. Almacid is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almacid. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.